Welcome to the Bumblecast. I'm your host, Ian Flynn, the Bumble King, and joining me as always is my Bumble co-host, Kyle JCRB Krause.
Cool. I'm here. And
you are here.
It's Wednesday.
And it is Wednesday.
It's scary. Weird. I don't know how these Wednesdays keep happening, but they do.
And it's extra scary because this time it's your birthday.
Oh, no. It's my birthday.
Congratulations on surviving another solar rotation.
Oh, no. 1 year closer to death for me. Yay.
Kyle, it can happen in any moment, so don't worry.
It's true. It's true. Yes, thank you. What is it about this birthday that's so special? Oh, it's my 36th birthday. So first of all, I'm old. I'm old. Yes, I know. Second of all, I have now left the sweet spot that all marketing strives for. The 18 to 35, that 18 to 35 bracket, boom, I'm out. Nobody cares about me anymore. I'm old, like nothing. They don't care what I think. So, not that I understood what the 18 to 35 age bracket was into when I was in it, but you know. Here we are. So this is our lives now, Ian. We are now the ones who are, they don't market to us. We're not,
well,
cool.
I'm kind of ahead of you, Kyle. I'm turning 40 this year, so
yeah, I know.
I've been out of that loop for a bit.
Yeah.
Still, happy birthday all the same.
Thank you.
Now, if you missed it last time, we are doing a special patron-sponsored character Q&A session later this month. Dr. Starline will be taking your questions. If you want to ask Dr. Starline a question, comment on one of these YouTube videos with the hashtag StarlineQ&A, on Twitter with the hashtag StarlineQA, email us at bumblecast@yahoo.com with hashtag StarlineQ&A in the subject line. Or if you're a patron, either through patreon.com or through ko-fi.com, go to the Ask Q&A channel and post your question with the hashtag StarlineQA. You need the hashtag StarlineQA, or otherwise we're not going to find it. We're also not going to do a three-hour episode, so we will be cherry-picking some of the questions. We can't get through all of them. You guys would kill us, or Dr. Starline, at least. Submission period is from the 24th, which was our Monday episode, to the 31st, which is the end of the month. So if you're going to ask a question, ask it within that period. Otherwise, too bad. You're just going to get me again. Or Kyle. You can ask it to Kyle, but not Dr. Starline.
No. Starline's time is very limited and very precious to him. So...
He's a very important man with very important things to do.
Yes. We'll have to address with him you making fun of him by doing his voice all the time. I don't know if he'd appreciate that.
We will cross that bridge and burn down that house when we get to it. For now,
and then
we have the standard
the
Q&A. Does this come from anywhere in particular?
The first half of this Q&A comes to us courtesy of our Discord members who are not priority patrons, and from Twitter for the second half. So,
alrighty,
that's where we're getting it from. So we're gonna get started
that's
off
to do.
With Discord folks. There's this one from Tick Tick. Hello, Ian. Here's an interesting question. Seems this franchise has a strange quirk of naming things in-universe based on marketing language. For example, the planet is literally called Sodok's World, and the Death Egg Robot is called Death Egg Robot in canon, despite that seeming to be quite strange names from an in-universe standpoint. Are there any other weird, quirky names like that we currently don't know about?
Now, the planet is not actually called Sodok's World. It's just, it's not really called anything at this point. So... for lack of a better term, Mobius, it's Sonic's World. But you're dead on with Death Egg Robot. That one's a little on the nose.
And the Death Egg Robot has a big nose.
I mean, and it doesn't even fit the convention, you know? Everything is Egg something. Why even couldn't it be like Egg Destroyer or Egg Boss or Egg Scrambler or something? No, Death Egg Robot just bleh.
Curse you, Sonic. How did you make your way through my egg base action playset? Oh, marketing.
With an elevator that actually works.
Wow. Amazing. Thank you for that one. Thank you for that one, Discord chat.
But I can't immediately think of anything that's that on brand in terms of naming stuff. Like, the Tornado isn't called the Tornado Biplane or Sonic's Plane. It's just the Tornado.
The Tornado, you know? Biplane, and, TM, all caps.
But no, I think everything else is just, you know, your conventional weird Sonic naming things.
Yeah. Sonic naming is weird. I feel like
all regular nouns are now pronouns.
I feel like they just came up with, I don't know. Did they come up with the names second? That might be it. I don't know what they did. Was it originally even, was the Death Egg Robot originally even called anything? I thought Death Egg Robot came about because of Generations, but it might have been earlier than that.
I'm honestly not sure.
Yeah. I think that's kind of a retcon. Because I don't know if it was ever called anything before. Weird. Here's a question from Jib. Do we know how long Shadow has been around before Gunn attacked the Ark? Or has that information never been stated before?
I don't think it's been stated before. There might be some obscure Japanese minutia that details it, but I don't think that's been detailed.
And we have a question from Alphamon or Yukon. Since the final issue confirmed that X-Zero, ZX, and Legends are the official future of Mega Man Classic, how would you have handled crossovers between Mega Man Classic and alternate continuities such as Battle Network, Star Force, and even Fully Charged or Mighty No. 9? Yes, he counts. How would the Blue Bomber and his friends slash enemies react to such vastly different dimensions?
I think Rock would just kind of roll with it, but a bump bump, because he's a sweet natured and accepting kid. He would find things maybe different, but at least interesting and exciting. He would take to it like a duck to water. Really, I don't think there would be too much of a culture shock for him jumping between them. I say this not knowing a lot about Star Force or Fully Charged, to be quite frank. So maybe there are aspects that could be further mined for greater value. But overall, I think he would, you know, just kind of accept that, okay, the technology is different here. I want to learn how it works. Same would go for Dr. Light. Same would go for Roll. Blues, as long as nobody's bothering him and nobody's in trouble, he doesn't care. Wily, at least so far as Battle Network, I think would be really unsettled by the lack of robotic prominence. Like, he can understand the appeal of the digital side of thing, but it's ephemeral. Where are your robots? Where are the things that you build with your hands? He crafted something out of wood, for pity's sake. You can't do that with a computer. That just writes the code. Where's the robots? And again, I'm not super familiar with the others, so I can't quite riff on that with Wily, but I feel like he would have the hardest time shifting gears from what he finds acceptable and understandable to what others consider the norm, because he's right and everyone else is wrong. So if there's a whole dimension that's wrong, how does he even begin to fathom that?
Right. That's an interesting thought.
Unless he starts, like, fast-tracking the construction of all the bodies of the net navvies and uploading them.
Uh-oh.
There, now you're on a proper platform. Go break something.
Wow. Maybe. Here's a question from Radri. If Sega wanted you to write a Sonic book for more mature audiences for the older Sonic fans, would this be something you'd be keen on writing, or would you prefer to keep writing Sonic for general audiences? I know Archie explored a lot of concepts with mild adult themes, but did manage to keep it rather PG back in the day.
I could see the appeal of maybe having more concrete consequences to some of the actions, but in general, no. Let Sonic be Sonic. It's an all-ages franchise. It's meant for everybody. just let it be its own thing and revel in that. We've told some dark stories with that without straying into the line of what would be considered mature audiences. And frankly, half the time, I'm not putting this at your feet, Radri, but it seems like half the time when somebody wants a mature audiences thing, they just want more blood, sex, and violence. And that doesn't add anything. It just makes it less palatable to some people. And let us remember, these are talking Crayola colored animal people. There's a little bit of disconnect there from, you know, what could really be taken seriously in terms of mature storytelling.
But Ian,
let's let the cartoon animals be cartoon animals. If you want something that's, you know, anthropomorphic with more adult themes, make an actual anthro book, you know.
Go watch Beastars, I guess, from my understanding. I've never actually seen it, but that's what
I understand. That's the media you can consume. And if you want something that is more Sonic oriented, then make your own series. Make your anthro character with superpowers and tell the stories you want to do. Let Sonic be Sonic. And if you want something different flavored, make something different.
Sonic,
nothing is stopping you.
I mean, the current comic run's gotten pretty dark. Have you seen the Metal Virus? It's pretty dark.
Wait till Imposter Syndrome number 3.
Oh no! Spoiler alert. Well, you know, that's one thing. Why can't you let Sonic murder, Ian? Let Sonic be a murderer. Ian, you need to let Sonic kill. It's like Batman.
Sonic say a swear. Let Sonic say a swear.
Aw, crap.
Chili dogs.
What the heck? Oh, wait, no, that was cream. Batman needs to kill, obviously. It's very important to his character. He needs to murder. Whatever. You guys, you edgelords. So edgy. Here's a question from Sam Cybercat. Just a little for fun question. If you had free reign to write a day in the life of story about any of Eggman's sidekicks from any version of Sonic, Scratch and Grounder, Orbot and Cubot, Agent Stone, Grimer, Snivelly, etc., who would be your first pick and why?
I'd be spoiled for choice.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of good ones there.
I mean, and they're all fun. I feel like Snivelly and Starline have had the most exposure, though. We've gotten to know them intimately the most, so mm-hmm. I wouldn't pick them first simply because we've seen them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Orbot and Cubot might be fun just to kind of see what their daily duties are.
That's a Agent Stone. That's a Sonic Boom episode, you know?
Yeah. Agent Stone, seeing his transition from movie one to movie two could be fun, but I'm just going to sit back and see what the movie tells us, because that's delightful. Grimer, I'm not super familiar with. Like, I know kind of his thing, but I don't know him well enough to say. And honestly, Sleet and Dingo just don't interest me enough to really try. But maybe that's the challenge, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Study up on them and actually tell a story that I would be interested in, rather than just go with what is comfortable. Because Scratch, Grounder, and Coconuts would be, you know, easy peasy. That's low hanging fruit. That's fun on a bun.
Yeah, yeah. I just see Scratch, Grounder, and Coconuts with Orbot and Cubot, the five, to feed the daint, the not so fearsome five.
Orbot and Cubot just kind of sitting back watching the antics unfold, and Orbot's just kind of shaking his head going, I know the boss says we're a bit lackadaisical, but this is ridiculous. I find motivation now. I want to accomplish something. I'm still trying to figure out what you were saying with lackadaisical. I haven't been programmed with that much of a dictionary.
Oh, Cubot. You're good. Here's one from 4 Sonic Fan. I was wondering, with our two new imposters for Sonic and Tails, how would the good old aunties from Sonic and Tails react to them if they would meet each other? In short, how would Scourge react to Surge and Miles react to Kit?
Scourge would hate Surge. Because his whole character revolves around the fact that he is aware that he is a knockoff, that he is derivative, that the universe said, you're Sonic, but evil. And that's what he rails against so hard after he becomes Scourge, is trying so hard to be someone else, always chased by this existential fear that he is just Sonic, but worse. And so he would see a lot of himself in Surge and her plight, and then feel redundant that he can be recreated so effortlessly. And that would just tear him out of the frame. He would just hate her very existence. And Surge wouldn't care who the hell he was. Who is this? It's another Sonic? Okay, let me take care of the real thing. And then I'll scrape you off my shoe later. Okay, Kit, bye. Miles would see all this playing out and keep a safe distance. And with Kit would realize that he is a extremely codependent weapon and play to that and try to get into his head and try to pry him off of Surge and become the new focus of his fixation, except that wouldn't work for reasons I can't get into just yet, and it would go very badly, and Kit would respond very violently, and we wouldn't necessarily have a Miles by the end of it. Or we would, it's just he would be very wet.
You don't want your fox to get wet. They get stinky. They smell.
Especially when they start to decompose.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Would Scourge try to file a copyright claim on Surge?
You expect him to do something legal?
No copyright law in the universe is going to stop her. All right. Here's one from Wicked Dreamer. Ian, did y'all create a backdoor workaround to revive those lost to the Genesis wave? Because it looks like you're trying to set that up for your long play.
No, and I'm sorry to say, I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm not sure if they're talking about IDW or Archie, if you were planning that, or if you're like doing that actively now. Like, what?
No.
Unfortunately, we can't. They can't, really.
Yeah, the Genesis Wave was meant to be a full cut. Like, tie it off. That's it. It's done. It's gone. Because any wiggle room could be exploited by certain parties. So, no. Genesis Wave, clean sweep, all gone. Erased forever. Never existed in canon because that's the safest route. And if something were to happen where suddenly that was no longer the case, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. I don't know. I'll figure out something.
If we come to it.
That's a big if. I'm not ever going to hold my breath for that, but.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Here's one from Celeste Orion. I was asked this by my own writing editor, but when it comes to writing out the scripts and world building for IDW Sonic, what is the process for constructing the world and the content within it? Are the writers the only ones who decide what works and what doesn't? Is there collaboration between the writers or other parts of the team, such as artists? How much input is given by others to work together into the narrative to make the world what it is?
It is definitely a collaborative effort. I would say typically the writers are the driving force, or at least the initiators. We're putting out the plot lines. We're putting out the story direction. We are asking for assets to be created to fill this world and to fulfill these roles. And the artists, sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly, work to realize those. All of this is managed by the editors, who say whether or not this works on any particular level. Like, I might pitch something and the editors come back and say, hey, no, that isn't really going to work. And it's like, okay, how do we adjust it to make it fit better? Sometimes they oversee the artists by themselves. Sometimes the artist confer with me and Evan. and Sega has a hand in this too. They can come back and say, you know, we don't think this works. You know, how about you do it this way? You know, change this here. So it's very hard to say, you know, when one person comes up with something. Like, for a specific example, Tangle. I could say, you know, Tangle is my creation, but Tangle was brainstormed and pitched to both Sega and the editors. Tangle was designed by Tyson Hess. She went through a few variations. You know, it was I can't say that it was just born in the vacuum of my brain. Take that out of context, if you will. It's very much a group effort.
Yes. And so even if you did try to claim copyright on your own characters for this, that would be kind of rude to the others who collaborated on them and helped flesh them out and design them. And yeah. Anyway, ready for the final question before we take a break?
Yeah.
Here's one from Godzilla. If Snively was a kaiju, who would he be? And why would it be Gigan?
Snively's not Gigan. Gigan's cool. Snively's like the Anguirus. Ugly little troll thing who wants to fight and wants to do good and just gets jobbed every single time.
Oh, snap.
No, Gigan is like, I don't know, he's Metal Sonic if Mechagodzilla didn't exist. Gigan's just freaking awesome, man. I don't think there is a proper one-to-one.
Maybe Knuckles-ish, sorta? Like the
Knuckles doesn't come that hard, dude.
No, the original. That's true, that's evil. True. Gaijin's wild. That's true. Yeah, there's not exactly a direct variant that fits. But hey, you know, he would not be Gaijin. Yeah.
I mean, you might want to try to argue Infinite, but I don't think Infinite has the staying power that Gigan did.
No.
Yeah, sure, Infinite opened up with an impressive stomping, but afterwards, Gigan, though, he sticks out. He's a problem start to finish.
Snively's not even on the level of Gamera.
No. Now, come on. Gamera is a friend to all the children. Gamera's Big the Cat.
I know. I like Gamera. I like Gamera, but he gets crapped on because he's, you know, not Godzilla, not Gigan. But Gamera's very silly. I like Gamera, though. Then again, to be fair, Godzilla also very silly.
Oh, sure.
Most of the Showa era is just like, what?
Very silly.
What is going on here?
But still. Badass all the same.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And with that, we are going to hop in our rubber suits and stomp our way out of here for a quick break. And we'll be right back with more Bumblecast. And we're back. We're getting into this one from Fabrizio El Master. Are there any plans to do a third crossover between Sonic and Mega Man?
Very, very tenuous ones. The end of Worlds Unite really opened the door for the third one, and there was very early talk about what we would do, but that never materialized.
Sad. I'm sad.
Like from what I remember, the idea was that there was going to be a world called Nexus so that we didn't have to worry about hopping dimensions and franchises anymore. It would just be like a battle world. There would be some kind of original character to kind of facilitate the story and why we have all the toys in the toy box again. And at the time, while we had absolutely nothing to back this up, the thinking was we would do everything humanly possible to finally get Mario into the mix because it's the third one. That would be the only way to up the ante reasonably. It probably wouldn't have happened, but that was what we wanted. And beyond that, you know, who would show up? What would be the actual plot beyond it's all the dudes? I don't know. but we at least planted the seed with the expectation that, you know, if this did well enough, we would do it again.
you could get Pac-Man instead of Mario, you know? You could get him in there.
Yeah, maybe that could
work. Namco is like, yeah, you want to license Pac-Man? Yes, you can. Yes, please. Nintendo can be a little bit more stringent with that, but Namco's like, yeah, Pac-Man. Namco's like, money? Yes, please. Oh, well. Maybe eventually we'll get our big Sonic and Mega Man and Mario and Pac-Man at the Olympic Games 4-part, 12-part crossover comic that ends in the Olympics. I don't know. What happens to the Olympics, Ian? Something.
They go into the Olympus sleep and awake 4 years later.
There we go. That's what would happen. Something like that. Would Pac-Man have legs? Yes. He would be based on his, Pac-Man 2/Smash Brothers design, which is a better design, honestly. I prefer that to him being just a sentient pizza. All right, here's one from Matt M. Wonder if Stephen Butler finished the pencil artwork for your original scripts for Sonic the Hedgehog 244 to 246 before the rewrites, and if any copies exist?
No. The first issue was in development when things had started changing. I know I've seen pictures going around of people who bought the original pages, and you could see where the whiteout was applied or where things were patched over, but it didn't. It's not like the original Endangered Species arc was fully completed and then revised. It didn't get that far.
Here's one from Tiffy Tiffy. I've been watching the show Static Shock recently, and it got me wondering, if the Big Bang incident were to happen in IDW Sonic, would any of the characters gain additional or new powers? Or if any civilian powers gain abilities from the gas, or would nothing happen?
That depends on how you want to play it. It might be interesting since, you know, arguably your average animal character doesn't have superhuman abilities, that Sonic and his crew are kind of unique in that regard. So to see someone who is just your average everyday person suddenly have sonic speed or grow another tail or can chew bubble gum and then spit fire, you know, see how they deal with that and how their society overall deals with it could be interesting. But that kind of requires us to understand what their society is like at a more granular scale. We've got some kind of overarching ideas, but nothing. We don't know enough about their society that throwing a wrench into it that much, we don't know how it would affect things.
Well, we know money doesn't exist up until money is a factor in a character, but you know. All right, here's one from the Chow Channel. So we know Sonic and Amy have a crush on each other in the canon, and we see a little bit of that in the comics. So will we see a potential relationship of these two in the books and maybe in the games?
Not to a great degree. The current direction, the mandate, if you will, is that we don't really get into romantic relationships, period. Which is interesting when that's like the key defining point between two characters, but that, you know, silver lining, we get to focus on Sonic and Amy interacting in something beyond just the romantic angle. You know, let's see more of their dynamic, which is fine. We can work with that.
How dare Sega prevent Amy from going on her mandate? That's all she wants. They won't let her do it. Rude. Here's a question from Speedy. If Merrick were to actually succeed in killing Whisper, what would be next on his agenda? Would he relax and take a vacation or hunt down his next target, possibly going after Eggman or Starline?
He wouldn't go after Eggman. He's terrified of Eggman. Starline, I don't think he'd make it a point, but if like he happened to see Starline crossing the street, he'd be like, yeah, why not?
I feel like I've had a rough
week, I might as well treat myself to a good homicide.
I feel like if he killed Whisper, Shadow would go after him just because, you know, Shadow likes to fight strong foes and, you know, he proved himself as being a strong foe. So here we are.
But for him, you know, I think he would be affected more than he'd want to admit that it was finally done and that he would just focus on the next job and try to not admit to himself that he actually is upset over this a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So you're not killing Whisper off, right? We're making that extra crystal clear. This is a theoretical scenario, part of a question submitted by a listener. Just making that extra clear.
I mean, it could happen.
No,
it may not. You'll just have to read to find out.
Ian, don't kill Whisper. No, don't. As the one pulling all the strings, I forbid it. A whappy with a newspaper. Whap.
Mine is an evil laugh.
I know. All right, fine. Here's a question from Almiron R. Are Surgeon Kit going to become regulars in Sonic IDW?
Yes.
Here's a question from Hubster. Just one quick question, though. What are your headcanon voices for Surgeon Kit?
It's killing me because I feel like I can think of the voice for Surge, and I know it's a prominent voice actor, and I could probably think of the characters based on, and I can't. I don't even know the show. I just kind of hear the tone of voice, and maybe I'm making it up, but I don't know.
Someone took and kind of like put a Powerpuff Girls Buttercup, used clips from that kind of over her, and it kind of works, but I don't know if that's what you had in mind.
You need someone who can have the ability to present a character who is just like nails on the chalkboard grating, but still endearing, and then be able to be incredibly sympathetic.
Yeah.
Someone who can sell the idea of Surge is a very broken person, but also a really obnoxiously violent and self-absorbed one. And that is a very fine balance to make. Kit, you would have to have someone who is able to be very soft-spoken, but forceful at the same time. Because he does not get, on a scale of 1 to 10, he does not get above a 2 more often than not. So to be able to do that without just being mumbles is tricky.
I'm seeing the suggestion of Azula as a similar voice for Surge.
Too regal, too refined sounding for me.
Mm.
Too pretty. I guess.
She's gotta be a punk.
And it's killing me because I can hear the voice in my head, but I can't place who the character was, or what the show was, or what the actor was. Just,
yeah, I mean, there are so many voices that could work, voice actresses that could work for Surge, that it would be, yeah, you kind of have to go kind of gravelly and punkish. Yeah, I mean, I can hear it too, but I can't think of anybody specifically where I'm like, yes, that's it. I don't know, maybe it'll come to you, or maybe someone has a good suggestion out there. Right, you write that down in the comments below. All right, here's a question from Gizboy88. I've just read Imposter Syndrome number 1, and it was great. Starling mentioned something about enhancements and upgrades in Surgeon Kit. Are Surgeon Kit robots like Bell, or do they have organic bodies, but with cybernetic enhancements, like Leanda from Archie?
You're just going to have to read Imposter Syndrome number 3 to find out.
Oh, boy. Here we go. You just want to sell comic books, Ian. How dare you?
I don't want to spoil anything.
You're just a dirty capitalist like everybody else. You just want money. How dare you?
That is not true.
How dare you?
Absolutely not true. And you can prove my point by supporting this show by going to patreon.com/bumblecast or ko-fi.com/bumblecast. Every donation is greatly appreciated. And because it's a donation, It's not profit.
And you can also head on over to the Bumble store, Bumblecast. Go to bumblecast.com and go to the Bumble comic shop. And then there's also the Bumble store, shop.spreadshirt.com/bumblestore. You can get our logos and faces plastered on some Bumble gear and profit. Except
there is no bumblecast.com.
There's no profit. There should be a bumblecast.com, but no, it's bumbleking.com. Go there.
I've been thinking about that.
Well, just get bumblecast.com and redirect it to the page probably. On Bumble King. And finally, we have one last question here from Toon Man. Not sure if I had asked before, but do you think originally Big the Cat was meant to be portrayed as an old man rather than how he is in the English versions? I mean, he kind of fits the bill for it to a point, to him being an old hermit. He lives alone in the jungle and fishes. Plus, he finds himself in odd locations where, like in an old black and white cartoon, he's the wandering, clueless character who almost hurts himself but somehow escapes, like how the sleepwalking Chao acted in the Chao in Space short. For some reason, that makes me think of Goku's dad, Goten, to a degree. Although, at least, it feels like it's pointing to a Japanese trope of old man hermit who fishes by himself in the woods.
You make a good case, and I think that would be an interesting way to do the character. But I'm pretty sure the dopey lummox is what was intended from the get-go, because the early adventure games were overseen by the Japanese voice directors, even the English stuff. Rouge's voice actor, I can't remember her name off the top of my head, her original one.
Monty Minnelli?
Thank you. She said in an interview on some fan site about how frustrating it was because they were giving voice direction for Japanese tropes, but for English presentation, which doesn't work. There are, you know, things that just do not translate culturally. And that's where I'm coming from to think that he was always meant to be as he is. But if they were to, you know, I don't know, overhaul Sonic, I wouldn't mind seeing it done that way. That might actually be a fun way to take the character that is potentially less insulting in some cases.
He can't be that insulting, though. He's voiced by Duke Nukem. Okay, he can be that insulting because Duke Nukem's kind of a, you know, product of the 90s.
Mm-hmm. I'm here to kick ass and chew bubblegum, Froggy, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
Oh, yes. Good old Dookie Nookie. All right, we're done. That's it. That's the last question.
Yep, but before we go, we're going to give a big thank you to everyone who helped support the show and keeps us running. Big thank you to Daniel H. and Alex P., James K., John R., John B., and Jennifer R., confusing me with your J names, Robotnik Holmes, Samuel P., Sam Cybercat, Torchbound, Mike B., Coupling Crew 128, Duis Dizdin, Diane W., Andrew D., Dave M., Scruffy Matt, Salute Your Cat Off, Chris A., Sony J. Frost, John M., Noni Jib, Don B., Yami M., Hero of Light 13, Lee HK, Lisa M., Chevelle, Ryan D., Piggy Bank, Blue Title Gamer, Tick Tick, Final Neil, Ben W., Invade Turbo Tunis, Fiona M., Jonathan D., Sonic, Godzilla, Chaos Universe, Sonic Legacy, Dadler the Dalek, Daniel B., Pedanticat, Dove, Red the Superdamic, Pandolce, Carlos, Joe S., Chad, Jennifer H., Preston M., The Name is X, Nimerk, Les, Alphamon or Yukin, Ava Arctic, Chase L., Sapphire Scarletta, Noah S., The Patron Saint of Chicken Nuggies, St. Jerry, Ramen, Kojiro Highwind, Professor Rye, Solaris Stain, Cameron H., Owen BD, Rad Wolf, Kimmy Co., Callum Q., Radry, Zandaroni the Painter, Turbo, Crooker, Nathan J., Just a Mountain Soul, Louis J., In Zephyr, Maddie H., Alex the Border Collie, Ty H., For Sonic Fan, Techno Cinema, KJB, Mox, Rusty Cook, Darusival. That is not one that rolls off the tongue. Leichi M, Unlikely Veronica, Axis, Chaos Voltage, Mini Hats, Yoshi, Milkman, Gex the Tail Timer, Sprites Forever, San Amy Channel, Grisket, Damien That Hedge, and The Cartoonist.
Alrighty. Thank you, everybody, for your wonderful, beautiful support and for listening to the Bumblecast and your comments, your questions, and everything else. That's it.
Yep, yeah, it's all done. Comment on the video below to wish Kyle a happy birthday and give him the gift of metrics. Send your questions to Dr. Starline for the February guest episode. And otherwise, be good to yourselves. Be good to each other. And we will see you next time on the Bumblecast.
Bye! Cake. Am I going to get cake?
I don't know. Are you going to get cake?
I don't know. Maybe. Here's a question from Sam's Cybercat. Just a little fun for a question. Okay, sorry, I completely misread
that. Take two.
I'm tired all of a sudden.
You've been listening to The Bumblecast, a co-production of Bumble King Comics and the KNGI Network. Original theme music composed by Ken Coda Snyder. Remixed intro by T-Lopes. Find out more information, along with podcast feeder links, MP3 downloads, and more at bumbleking.com and kngi.org.
Real quick.
Things get weird.
Do you hear anything in the background?
I kind of heard some banging. Was that like construction or something?
No, it's kitchen stuff.
Oh.
How much you got left on?
It wasn't very loud.
No. Okay, no, you can keep going.
It was okay.
It's not really picking up.
No, not really.
It's just faint background. It's fine.
It was there, but it was like not really a big deal.
Not distracting.
Not really a big deal, yeah. Nah. It just sounded like there was construction like a few floors above you and a few units over or something. Like it was just far.
Okay, that's fine. That's
far away. It's not, yeah, it wasn't crazy.
And until the day I can afford to get a place where I could put in my own recording booth, that's just going to have to be how it is.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Patreon.com/Bumblecast. You can help. You can help.
Yeah, sure. The day this show buys me a house.
That'll be a great day.